I don't recall much about the first Sunday in 67 when the congregation moved over here on this site. I was here, but I was probably too busy handling all the drama of, junior high school to pay much attention to all of it. I appreciated the modern look that the church had. After all, 67, you saw the picture in the video there. It was pretty cool. It really was in 67, and this octagon kind of room, and the way it all looked in the front, it was pretty nifty. We had a new Sunday school classrooms down there in the west wing that doesn't exist anymore, but anyway, blew away in the tornado. But we had new Sunday school, had those accordion doors so you could section it off so we could have four classrooms, and then you'd open it all up for the fellowship hall down there. And I don't know that we thought that through about how much noise there'd be if you had four classes going at the same time, but it was still pretty cool. The junior high class was on that side, and the high school class was over there, and then we could, like I said, open it up for the fellowship hall and the kitchen, little kitchen in there, and that was all pretty cool. It would be more than 20 years before we made significant changes to the look of the sanctuary from 67 to about 1990. And once again, although I was the pastor then in 90, I don't recall much about that first Sunday back. The tornado in 99 took us out of the sanctuary for 87 Sundays. For 20 months, we met at VBI. I do remember the last Sunday at VBI with snow on the ground, and we had invited Pastor Billy Joe to come over between his services. He came because we'd received an offering, and we just wanted to express our thanks and love and appreciation to him for his graciousness in allowing us to have a home away from home at VBI for those 20 months. And we presented him a check that day and just showed our love and thanks to him. I still miss our friend, Billy Joe. The next Sunday, January the 7th, 2001, we were home, finally, home. And it sure felt good. It was a little crowded that day, I remember. And we were packed in here. We just had one service that first Sunday, I guess, and we brought in chairs to the point where Roger Sharp was here. Roger was the assistant fire chief for the city of Tulsa, and he said later, I had to walk out. I couldn't be in there when they kept bringing chairs in, blocking aisles and stuff, because you could put your feet on the stage, the platform up here, because we had so many chairs. One of the other firemen carrying chairs in walked past Roger and said, sorry, chief, I'm sorry, I'm bringing them in here. So we packed too many people in here on that first day. I do remember that. I look back to see what I said that first Sunday in 2001 and found some reflections that I had written essentially as a prayer. If you'll let me read just a portion of it, I believe it to be the truth for us as a church on this first Sunday as well. I wrote then, Lord, we know you aren't impressed by buildings, big or small, common or ornate. But we didn't build this facility to impress you or anyone else. We build it to fulfill what we believe to be your purpose for us as a church. We build it to be a place of healing, hope, laughter, and peace. We know if we get preoccupied with this building, then it becomes an idol and we've sinned against you. But if it's truly a place of worship and prayer, a place where the gospel of grace is proclaimed and where the lost and hurting know they can come to find hope, a place where people gather and build relationships and encourage one another, if it's a place where believers are taught and equipping is done, if it's a place where restoration occurs, where redemption and forgiveness are priorities, where children and youth are loved and mentored and discipled, if it's used as a place to nurture and love and care for the weakest and the least, if by the very design of the building it says to this community and this city, why, of course you'll fit here, you belong here, you'll be accepted and loved here, welcome home. Well then, even though you don't dwell in temples made by hands, Lord, I'm pretty sure you'll drop by a place like that. It sounds like your kind of place. A place filled with people that understand, people that are more impressed with Jesus than anything we could build with our hands or our money. So, Lord, help us to be like that, to be your kind of people. Don't let us be impressed with something that's going to wear out or could be blown away in a tornado, something that will burn in the end. Instead, let us be grateful for the temporal, but may our focus always be upon the eternal. And on this first day to worship in this new facility, I just wanted to say thank you, knowing that every step of the way, through the good days and the bad, you've been leading and guiding us. I wanted you to hear us say it first thing, that we take no pride or glory in this because you alone deserve the glory. All of this has come from your hand, and we humbly say thank you. We won't forget the things that are truly important. We won't be dazzled or even distracted by the new facility or the new technology, at least not for long. Instead, we'll continue to look to you as we have always done, regardless of our circumstances or condition, and we'll try to keep building your kingdom and never our own. Please keep teaching us how. Amen. And amen to that this morning. Well, I've often said that part of the calling of a pastor is to help see the events of our lives in the context of our faith. And that's what I want to try to do for just a moment this morning, is to just share some reminders for the first Sunday in our new sanctuary. So first of all, remember that God doesn't live in temples made by hands. Don't get the building confused with the church. We've built a place dedicated to God's service and to the proclamation of His Word, but God doesn't live here. He lives within us, His people, His church. The Apostle Paul told the men of Athens, "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and He doesn't live in temples built by hands." The pagans built ornate temples to house their gods, and their idols sat in those temples, but they didn't live there. You couldn't say that because the idols weren't alive to begin with. But the God who created all things, He pretty much lives where He chooses, but we understand He can't be contained in any building. And we might add, He isn't impressed by buildings, but He is pleased with obedience and with our efforts to use buildings to advance His kingdom and the cause of Christ. Solomon built the first temple. He said, "The temple I'm going to build will be great because our God is greater than all other gods." So he's saying, "I'm going to build something that'll just blow them away around the world." He says, "But who is able to build a temple for Him since the heavens, even the highest heavens, cannot contain Him? Who am I to build a temple for Him except as a place to burn sacrifices before Him?" So Solomon says, "I want to build something magnificent, something great and beautiful, because I want it to point to the greatness and the beauty of God." But Solomon recognized that God's greater than any building. His beauty and His nature and His holiness are beyond anything we can begin to imagine, let alone attempt to portray or illustrate. He was building a temple that would not contain God, but would serve as a place to worship God, a place to offer sacrifice and praise to God, a place that would honor and acknowledge the God who is creator of all and the Savior of the world, a place that would reflect upon, a place to come and reflect upon His goodness. And what we've built here and what we've done in the sanctuary, I hope will continue to draw our attention to the Lord and not to ourselves. It struck me as we were working on this, for the first time in this sanctuary, there's no barrier above and in front of us. We started out in 67, you know, there was that kind of lip that came out from the wall there. We always thought it looked like a ball cap that was stuck out there. It kind of defined the choir loft, I guess, in some sense, but it was always there, even though you could look above and see the stained glass window or the colored windows, and you could see the ceiling at that point. And then in the 90s, we covered up the ceiling and kind of defined it all a little more narrowly once again. And so for the first time in architecturally and aesthetically, it seems to me, everything kind of opened up. We're figuring out how the sound's going to work because everything is opened up. It kind of soars. It lifts itself upward to the heavens. And I think it causes our eyes to be lifted up and not cast down. It causes us, I hope, to, or at least symbolically, it causes us to look up to the Lord, our source. And we're reminded, no, He doesn't live here, but sanctuaries like this remind us of His transcendence. And they cause us to reflect upon His splendor and the beauty of His character and of His grace. And I would say this morning to allow your spirit to soar above your trouble this morning and let your eyes and your heart be lifted to the Lord in praise and in adoration. Because even though He doesn't live in buildings, He inhabits the praises of His people that are inside those buildings. He's here with us today. He promised to be with us and to be reminded that He is eternal and He is mighty and He is good and His mercy endures forever. Then the second reminder is to not be distracted by the tools or the technology, but to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. So we've added new technology and lighting and video, and you see a little bit of it this morning. I thought, you know, for anybody that says, well, I don't know about all the color and all the light and all that kind of stuff, well, read Revelation chapter 4, because we'll have to get over it by the time we get to heaven. Because John looked and he saw one seated on the throne, and it seemed as though he was surrounded by a rainbow of color, and he describes color and image that he couldn't quite even imagine. And so, yeah, we're not trying to duplicate that, but certainly there's beauty and color in all of it. There's quite a learning curve in all this, and we're trying to learn as fast as we can. So it's like anything you bought. I remember buying a stereo system and then thought, boy, I've bought something that I don't know how to operate. That's going to be a problem. I wish I had just gone back to where you flipped it on and turned the volume up, and instead I'm having to EQ all the things and all that kind of stuff. So we're learning how to do that. If you get a new phone and a year later your kids pick it up and go, you know, it'll do this. It will? I didn't know it would do that. That's what we're learning right now. Really? It'll do that? Well, yeah, we just got to figure it out. So give us a few weeks, all right? If you don't, I didn't like the way it sounded in there. We're working on it. I didn't like all those lines. We're working on it, all right? So give us a little time. Critics, we've got a place for you. It's way out there, kind of on the back. We're happy to hear from you, but give us a little time, all right, till we get it figured out. You can't come in on the first day and expect it to be perfect. You know, there's no way to rehearse this. Like, we were going to bring in a fake crowd, and we're going to see if we could figure out how to do it with a fake crowd, so when the real church got here, we'd have it all worked out. Well, you're the guinea pigs. Thanks for being here today. So, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. Well, that's where we are. So give us time. Things are likely, you know, we did this so we could move everything around. Who knows? The choir may be over there next week. I don't know where it's all going to go. But everything can kind of move, and you'll figure that out. So don't be distracted by all the technology. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. Friday night for the women's conference, we were panicked because we couldn't get everything kind of worked out. And last night, about 10, something else had happened, another glitch, and something wasn't working right, and all that stuff. And we got home, Sarah had sent me a text like, "All right, are they getting it figured out?" Because I'd come back up here and like I know anything. I was here for moral support, you know, and. But anyway, I sent Sarah a text. I said, "Perhaps Jesus smiles as we fret about it all." And then I wrote, "Martha, Martha, only one thing is necessary." And it's the truth. We're busy with a whole lot of things. We're trying to figure out, well, how can we bring that light down and bring that one up and do this? And the truth is, don't get distracted with all that. Just one thing's important, and that is that Jesus is here and we're here and His presence is here. That's what's important. We keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Amen? Amen. Last Sunday night, we had prayer meeting down in the gym, and at the end I said, I want us, we don't have our occupancy permit yet, we can't have service down there, but I want us just to walk down here into the sanctuary. I just wanted us to pray over this place. And we walked in, there were about 100 of us, I guess, for prayer. And we walked in, and I came up here on the platform. I didn't say anything. I just stood there. And it just like I could, people just began to kind of weep, and there was worship and prayer that was lifted up. We stood here in the presence of the Lord. I got to tell you, it was the best dedication that I'd ever seen. No formality. It was just the presence of God, the Holy Spirit filled this house. There were a couple of prophetic utterances given, and the Lord just a word of encouragement. Somebody came up to me and said, "Man, if you couldn't feel the Spirit of God in here tonight, there's something wrong with it." It was just the presence of the Lord that makes the difference or whatever. That's what we're talking about. Don't get distracted. All this was great, but we didn't have anything on, no lights, whatever. It's just Jesus here. That's what does it. That's what makes the difference. That's what we're going to keep our eyes on. In the Old Testament, there were numerous times when Israel wanted to make alliances with other countries or pagan countries because they were worried about enemies coming against them. And they thought, well, we'll go to Egypt because they've got more horses and chariots, and we'll be better if we're protected by them. And the Lord would remind His people, you don't want to trust in horses and chariots. The psalmist said, likely David, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. It's Psalm 20, verse 7. He didn't tell them not to use horses and chariots. He just said, don't put your trust there, because ultimately the horsepower and the chariot power will give out on you. You can't run with the horsemen all the time, but the Spirit of God is going to work. He's going to make the difference. And folks, that's where our trust is. So don't be distracted. It's not about the building or the technology. All of this is just a tool for us to use to build His kingdom and to advance the message of the gospel. This facility is just a tool for us to use to reach more people with the good news of Jesus and His redeeming grace. So keep looking to Jesus. The writer of Hebrews said, don't get tripped up by all this little stuff, but let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. In a few weeks, we'll be live streaming our Sunday service. We'll be able to reach more people with the gospel. Thank God we've got more room to gather and more room to grow and new opportunities, a new season of harvest and victory for the church. And that will come as long as we refuse to be distracted and we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and we keep giving Him all the honor and the glory that He alone is due. We'll keep honoring Him and His Word. Well, here's another reminder for this first Sunday that the work's not completed. It's just getting started. So thank God we got this part of it done and we can get in here and start kind of figuring things out. I said something about that. I said, well, you know, now the real work starts. Well, what do you mean? Well, this was just the building. This was the easy part, you know. Whew. But this was the easy part. Because it's made out of mortar, but the real work starts now. And the question is, how do we best use this building and this new set of tools the Lord has provided for us? How do we best use these tools to advance the kingdom and to tell others about Jesus and to disciple believers? We've got work to do. We've got new methods to use. We've got more doors that will open for us. That means we'll need more volunteers and more prayer and more help and more creativity and more ingenuity. We need more people that know how to do technical kind of stuff. We need computer geniuses and all that kind of thing. We need more of Jesus above everything. We need the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit. So don't think, well, boy, I bet you're happy now. You're finished. You can get some rest. No, thank God we're finished. And now we got to get started with the important stuff, the eternal stuff, because we're more reliant now upon the Holy Spirit than ever before. But don't get me wrong. We're celebrating today. I'm happy that we're in here this morning. I'm thankful and grateful that this part is done. Hallelujah. But understand again, it's just a new set of tools. And I know some of you that know me, you'll be shocked to hear me say this, but I actually love getting new tools. I love tools. I'm not any good with them. You know? I just don't know what to do with them or how to make them work for me, but I love them, you know? And I mean, I love the sound of a power saw, skill saw, or something, the smell of wood and all that stuff. But, you know, I love to play the piano, and I've always figured, like, hey, you know, I'd lose a couple of digits in there somewhere. I'd rather be able to play. But I have great respect for people that know what to do with tools. I'd stand in there and watch these guys work and just think, man, you know, that's amazing that those guys can do that. And Dean Stevenson was in the first service. You know, Dean built this pulpit. And all. It just amazes me that people know how to do that and stuff to do with tools. I love that. I love buying them. I'll go in a tool store. Man, I'd love to have one of those. I don't even know what it does, but that's cool looking. And I'd like to have that. So I like them. I just don't know how to use them. I don't want that to be the case at Carbondale. I want us to do more than simply own and possess the latest tools. I want us to use them. Let's figure out, let's celebrate where we are this morning and what the Lord's done. But let's pledge ourselves, let's get busy and learn how to use these tools and use them while there's time and opportunity to bring people to Jesus. Lord, show us how to use those tools to tell others about You. That's what this is about. Folks, there's a broken world all around us. And yeah, not just around us here. Broken people hurting. And the only hope is Jesus. The only hope is Jesus. And we've got to take that message to the whole world and tell others about Jesus. There's a whole lot that we've got to do. Here's another reminder, and I'm getting close to the end here. Thank God for every gift and giver, and just remember, it's not paid for yet. So, rise and build cards are available. Thank God for the incredible provision for us over this past year, and the giving, your giving has just been extraordinary, and thank God for it. To God be the glory, and thank you. Experts, all those financial expert guys, they tell us it's harder to pay off debt. You know, so you can get anybody, oh man, I want to give to a new building, and then it gets built, and then they go, hey, that's great, isn't it? And then, well, glad we got that done. They walk out the door. Hey, wait. We still got some money that we got to pay. And, you know, we got to finish that parking lot out there. And We're going to repent. I'm believing for God's continued blessing. I'm believing for His supernatural provision, so we'll be able to pay this off quickly. He supplied. I believe He's going to continue to supply as we continue to trust and obey. And so remember on this first Sunday to thank God for His provision, and then let's keep on giving. I'm believing for unexpected resources to come to you and to come to us in this church. I really believe that. I've said it to the board over and over. I believe there's going to be an unexpected resource that's going to come. God's going to provide. But I believe that for you, for your business, for your job, God's going to bless you and you'll continue to bless His work. Here's the last two things and we're done. First of all, on this first Sunday, remember where we came from. And we've been careful to pay tribute to our past in this new facility. The video, again, I had not seen it until this morning. They wouldn't let me see it. I didn't know what was going on. If I walked in Phyllis's office, it was, "Don't be looking over there now." And so I had no idea what was coming there. But we've been careful to pay tribute to our past. We purposefully kept and repaired the bell tower. I think they got it all painted yesterday, and we've got the bells to go up there. So, no, they don't ring, but they're going to replace the missing bell. So we'll finally have new bells up there, because it was 50 years ago, it was part of what we did, and we just felt like we needed to hang on to that. When people say, "Now, where's your church?" West of the Arkansas Bridge on I-44, look over on the right. It's the church with the steeple on top and a bell tower. "Oh, yeah, I know that." So if we didn't have that, it'd mess me up, because I've been telling people that for 50 years. If you notice, and if you came in on this side, well then, hey, you know, there's a whole other area over there on this side. So you might want to stick your head in over there, a whole other gathering area in there. But if you notice, the architects purposefully carried the design of the sanctuary and the ceiling. It's actually called a roulon ceiling out there, but it's about straight through there where the carpet is on both sides. If you look up, so there's wood ceiling section out on the out in the lobby areas, because it kind of carried it out there. We purposefully saved the rock from the original front of the church. If you saw, there was a pile of it out there for months or whatever, and they cleaned all that off, knocked all the concrete off and stuff, and then put it back into those little rock wings or corners on the exterior of the building, because we wanted the old and the new brought together. We wanted it to be a blending of the old and new, because we remember where we came from. And we value our history and the legacy that's been handed to us. And we've been given a responsibility to guard, that's what the Bible says, guard well the faith that's been entrusted or been delivered to you. And we've been trying to do that. The methods change and the technology changes, and we've done our best to upgrade those things and to stay current with the times and all those things. But the faith entrusted to us is an ancient faith, tried and tested by time and opposed by skeptics and tyrants who've tried to stamp it out and extinguish its flame. But the faith still burns brightly and boldly in the hearts and lives of God's people here at Carbondale and in His church around the world. We remember where we came from today, and we remember the price that was paid to advance the cause of Christ. We remember the sacrifices that were made so we could worship here today in this new sanctuary. We remember it because it was some of you and your parents or your grandparents or whatever, that some of them, and they put their name on the line. There are a couple of us when we borrowed the money from the bank to pay for this, a couple of us got our name on there. I think Dale and I have our names on there somewhere. But I'm telling you, there was a day when it was like, okay, we need some men who will sign on the dotted line that are going to guarantee that if the church can't pay for it, it's coming out of their pocket. You heard them say $1,400 to build that rock church. Things have changed a little bit since then. We couldn't even get a load of rock to pour on the parking lot out there for $1,400. And so the times have changed, and nobody here was asked to sign on the dotted line, but we understand the price that was paid and the sacrifice that was made, and that people worked hard and their blood and sweat and tears to do. We remember all of that. We won't forget where we came from, because it helps define us as to where we're going. We remember the price. And I got to tell you, for all those saints, somebody asked me this morning, "I bet, what do you think Brother McQueen would think," or whatever, and I said it a little bit ago, I think those saints are rejoicing that we're still telling people about Jesus. That when they moved out here in the country, that's where this was. Carbondale was out in the country. And who was it? Wasn't it Dad Sharp that he had a chance to buy property over there where Utica Square is? And she said, I'm not going to live way out there in the country. Anyway, the country keeps moving around Tulsa. But this was out here in the country. The west side and all those old oil workers out there and the refineries. And oh boy. And somebody said, you know what, we need Jesus over here. And all those children out there, they need Jesus. And they need a Sunday school. And they built that church. We remember where we came from. And those kids, they still need Jesus. Those kids over there at Robertson and Clinton, they still need Jesus. These neighborhoods are still full of families that need Jesus. Not much has changed except the world got more wicked and how desperately we need a church in this community to tell people about Jesus. That's why we're still here. So we remember where we came from. We won't ever forget that. And we remember the people who brought us here. I remember those pastors. And there's none of them left. They're all in heaven celebrating this morning without us. But I remember and I honor them. And that's how we got where we are today. And then finally, we remember where we're going. It feels different in here today. But at the same time, I think it feels like home. And even though the lights and the images on the walls are different, or the carpet and the stone are different, there's something familiar about the whole thing. I said, you know, even if all the color goes away, I like the stone. If you've been to Israel with us, Jerusalem is built out of stone that looks like this to me. It's all just this kind of white stone. It's called the Jerusalem, the city of gold, but you can't build with anything else but that stone. So the whole city, the old, it looks like that. And I could come in here with all the lights off and go, oh, good, I'm home. I'm back in Israel somewhere. I like it. And I've walked in here a million times over the last few months and walked through here. You know, you still try to orient yourself. Now, where was it? And how was the old sanctuary? And how was the old platform? And where were things? And we try to figure all that out. And it's different some ways, but then there's something familiar about the whole thing. You know what it is? It's because Jesus and the family are here. It feels a little like home, yet not quite. I see a lot of you found your row again, you know. Had to work for it, so got the Middletons and the Sharps over there. That's good. The Charettes are on their side. You don't have that little section anymore, but you're there. And the Casey's are all over there. This is where Mike and Janine, they're always over there in that area somewhere. So it feels right. Fellers are right there. I started looking this morning. People got here early to make sure they got their row back there. So we threw you off with that little aisle over there. Like, I don't know about that. But anyway, we got you. College gang's over there. High school's still out here. All right, we're good. So we kind of find our way. Yeah, it starts to feel like home. I got to get used to those doors. I got to get used to this. It feels like home. But that's the way it's supposed to be. That the church gathered always reminds us a little bit of home, yet not quite. Because we're not home yet. But one day. One day we'll all be home and we'll step into God's eternal presence. And I'll tell you, I think this is beautiful and it calls my heart to a worshipful response. But all the stone and lights and sound and images and beauty in the world can't begin to suggest to us the beauty and the glory and the splendor that will await us when we step into God's holy and eternal presence. And as overwhelming as it will all be on that day, somehow, I believe in our hearts it will register home. Home. We're finally home where we're supposed to be. Well, we're home again this morning and not quite yet. We've still got a lot of work to do before we go home. There's still a lot of prodigals that need to come home. Maybe to Carbondale, maybe to somewhere else, but they need to come home to Jesus. And so what I'm asking us is to just devote ourselves to the task that's in front of us. Let's pick up the tools that God has provided for us, and to whom much is given, much is required. Let's take these tools and let's use them to announce the good news and to serve our generation and to prepare the next generation until we're all gathered home. And if you're here this morning and maybe in your own heart you think, well, you know what? Yeah, I'm I came home to Carbondale, I grew up here, whatever, but I haven't been living for Jesus. Don't just come home to a building today. Come home to your Father's house. Come home to your Father and offer yourself to Him today. So would you bow your hearts with me this morning? Lord, I thank You today that we can bow in the presence of the Lord, that we can bow here in this place that we call home. It is. It's a building, but then the people and the memories and all of it here, it's church home. Lord, for 50 years, for more than 50 years, this has been home. I didn't realize that my life was going to be so wrapped up here. But it's home. And I'm glad we're here. And Lord, maybe there's somebody that's come today because it was the first Sunday back, or maybe they got invited. Maybe this was home to them as a child. And somebody invited them to come back to see the changes, and they're examining their hearts today, and they realize, yeah, Carbondale's always been home, but my heart isn't right with God today. I need to get that worked out because there's a heavenly home that's going to call me someday, and I want to make sure that's right. And so, Lord, would You speak to their heart today? And if they need to surrender their heart and life to You, boy, this would be the perfect time to do that, Lord. That right where they are, they can just ask You to forgive their sins and to come into their heart and life. That they would just say, Father, would you take me and make me part of Your family? Forgive my sins and cleanse me and give me an eternal home. And Lord, if they'll pray that kind of prayer out of their heart, You'll do that. You'll do that. If you're here this morning and you just say, would You pray for me? Because I need to make that decision. I'm coming home to Jesus today. I want you to pray for me. Would you just slip your hand up so I can see it? Just up and back down where I can see if I know. Thank You. There in the back. Thank You. You can put your hand down. Anybody else, you just thank You. Thank You. Thank You. There in the back. Anybody else, you just lift your hand to say, pray for me because I'm coming home to Jesus today. I've seen three hands so far. Anybody else, you say, pray for me because I got to make that decision to come home to Jesus today. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Well, Lord, for those hands I saw, or for any heart that turns to You this morning, Lord, I thank You for forgiveness that comes from Your hand and from Your grace. You said that if we would confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus died for us on the cross and that You raised Him from the dead, that if we believe that and called upon You as our risen Savior, You would save us. You would forgive us of our sins and You would give us life. And today, Lord, those that raise their hands and perhaps others, Lord, we call upon You today. Save me. Forgive me my sins. Receive me into Your household of faith. Take me home, Lord. Let me be part of that family of God. Lord, I trust You today that if they pray it, just their own words, Lord, but they're praying it today. You're saving them. You've written their name in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's hope for them today because they turn to You in faith. Lord, it's a good way to start a Sunday by offering ourselves to Jesus in repentance and in faith. Come and make the difference in their lives, in their hearts, in their families, in their circumstances. Lord, help them to know that the journey they begin today in faith, walking with Jesus, it's a journey that lasts not just for a lifetime, but for eternity through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank You for that today. Thank You for a harvest that begins today. Thank You for home, Lord. Thank You for Your incredible provision for us that we can gather here and worship You, Lord. As Brother McQueen said on the video, the best is yet to come. I believe it for this church. I believe it for what You want to accomplish here in this place, Lord. Here and in however much time we've got. Help us to be effective, to use the tools You've given us to bring people to Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
The Lord has covered over this place. His hallowed presence has been here from day one. And He has taught us how to worship from the heart It's out of the heart that true worship comes. But now he's bringing us into a new place. He wants to show us his glory. And we will know his glory here as we invite it into our hearts. And it becomes a living, vibrant part of our lives. That we arise in the morning to greet the Lord and tell him it's good to be in his presence. And to know him in the fullness of his spirit and in the power of intercession will bring people to birth in this place. Only as we pray in the spirit, not even knowing what we're saying, but with groanings that can't be uttered with the human spirit, but they come directly from God. God has great things, and you will see his glory.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for prophetic word to us today. I thank you for it, Lord. Jesus said, believe and you will see the glory of God. And so, Lord, our expectation is that your glory will fill this place, perhaps in ways unexpected to us, Lord. But may your glory rest upon this house, Lord. May your glory rest upon us in the days ahead. May your anointing break the yoke of bondage. Lord, let it be broken because of the richness of your grace. May we serve you with joy and gladness. May thanksgiving be upon our lips, Lord. We'll offer to you the fruit of our lips, praise and honor and worship to our God. We bless you today, Lord. There's good things in store because you are a good and gracious God. You delight in giving good gifts to your children. We bless you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you're visiting with us today and you're like, I don't know what that was that just happened, what happened with that guy and that woman or whatever, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and chapter 14 talk about the operation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. One of those gifts mentions speaking in the gift of tongues and one the interpretation of tongues. That's what you've heard this morning. There's a little book at the information desk out there that we wrote a number of years ago on the personal work of the Holy Spirit, and they'd be happy to get you a copy of that book so you'll understand everything that's going on. We want you to be informed. Just tell them I said to give you a copy, and they'll do that. And let's stand together this morning. Remember, life groups tonight, so be in your life group. And if you don't have one, come join us for a little more reflection tonight. God bless you. Thanks for being here.